Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Blue Kool-Aid drinkers, we are back. Oh, I'm sorry that we're recording this a few days later, but that's all right. We want to take a chance to really regroup after the devastating, heartbreaking loss on Thanksgiving to the Buffalo Bills.
Oh, man.
28-25, the Lions lose on a last-second field goal that, unfortunately, a lot of us saw coming. We'll get into all that in a moment, but before we do, let's get to the Blue Kool-Aid crew that is here to react to the game, even if it is a few days late. But again, holiday, just regrouping ourselves from the loss.
Regrouping, not easy.
But we got Rud Dog.
Regrouping.
Rud Dog.
What up? Yo.
And we got Uche.
Hey, everybody.
And I'm Big Z. I forgot to introduce myself. But that's okay. So, Blue Kool-Aid drinkers, we come here, gathered here today to remember the Lions that fought so furiously on Thanksgiving, but just could not come away with a victory, giving up a big 40-yard pass to Stephon Diggs to put him in, to put the Buffalo Bills in field goal range to give the Bills a 28-25 victory over the Lions. You know, I really hate to start with it, especially I'm drinking the Blue Kool-Aid, where we drink the Blue Kool-Aid because we are so positive on this team. We're going to get into all that on the podcast, but we have to start with the game management at the end of each half in this game, because unfortunately, Dan Campbell still has some lessons to learn. Don't give a good offense like the Bills more opportunities to score. Oh,
I think Dan might have got a little cocky, because honestly, I love his strategy. He the way he addressed it afterwards and everything. Honestly, here's the thing: I was watching it live, and Tony Romo kept being like, "Oh, they gotta like run clock off. They gotta run clock off here." Like,
whoa. Run Dog, you were texting about this during the game. He was right.
Hold on a second.
All right, let's hear your ridiculous thing.
I was getting annoyed with him because what if they didn't want to run the clock off? And then after you find out that's exactly what Dan Campbell, his mindset was, let's score real quick and get the ball back to score again before half. He wanted to get his defense out there and thought they could get the stop. It's a little cocky, but it's bold. It's aggressive. I don't think it was stupid, and I think maybe he'll make a different decision next time. But I don't think it was stupid. If they pull off a stop there, it turns into a chance to score again. I just don't get why this idea we need to run out the half like we're scared little girls to run away from the big bad Bills.
I don't know if that was his mindset, to be honest.
What he said.
Yeah.
He said we wanted to score real quick and get the ball back again before half. That's exactly what he said. And that was what I was thinking too. Why run the clock out like we're trying to run away from the time, and like the time's our enemy? No, he came into this game like a mindset of we can take these guys, and he wasn't playing scared. And I understand the conservative play calling there probably, you know, stops them from scoring before half and all that, but he took a shot. And that's honestly how this whole game was to me. They took a shot and they missed in the end, but they took a shot and they came damn close.
Oh, all right. What about the second half though? Like, we have third and one. We've been in the scenario earlier this year too, don't forget, where we had fourth and one and we throw a deep pass.
It's not a high percentage play. I agree. I wouldn't call it.
No, it's so bizarre. earlier this year, I can't remember which game. I need to write it down. I wrote it down, but I lost my notes. But 4th and 1, we didn't get it. And we threw a deep pass, which is a low percentage play. And this game, we have 3rd and 1. And we throw another low percentage play. And we don't take any time off the clock. When 3rd and 1 pretty much would have been guaranteed in that spot, because the Bills are kind of playing back because they don't want to give up the big play. They're ready to give up the field goal to at least get to overtime. I did not like the call.
I mean, it's definitely arguable.
Yeah, I didn't either. I mean, in real time, I did not like the call. I was yelling at the TV, and I was so mad they did that, to be honest with you. And also in the first half, I was, in real time, wishing they would have run the clock down a little more and not give the ball back to the Bills. That being said, I'm not going to fault Campbell a whole lot in this game. I mean, we did play aggressively. Team played one of the best football games I've seen him play in ages against a really good team. I mean, it's just a different team now. I'm not going to get too upset, okay? I'm just not. I mean, yeah, we should have won, could have won. Yeah, I agree. But, no, this is a whole new Lions team, man. And I was reading something. There's a term called same old Lions, and then there's also a term called same old Lions fans. And the same old Lions fans are the ones that are bitching and moaning about all this stuff and not seeing what's right in front of them, how good this team is turning out. This product is really turned out pretty good. And, you know, we string a couple more wins now after this, and now we're going to forget all about that, man. We're still in the playoff hunt in amazing fashion. I have no idea how we can still be in playoff hunt, but we are. So, you know, shoot, I'm just enjoying this team right now. Like, every week seems better and better than the week before. So I'm just enjoying the hell out of it.
Well, speaking of the playoff hunt, I just want to throw out really quick that right now the 6th and 7th seed in the NFC are the New York Giants at 7-4, who we smoked. The Washington Commanders, who we also beat, who are 7-5. Then Seattle at 6-5, and Atlanta in 5-7. Now the Lions are 4-7 currently, but that is very doable. Yeah. Those teams Absolutely. Have a lot of divisional games to play. The Giants and Commanders still have to play each other twice, and the Lions have the tiebreaker on both of them just by head-to-head. So they are definitely not out of it. And in addition to that, the Rams are completely falling apart.
Yes.
And the Lions have the 3rd overall pick right now in the draft. Beautiful. Can you just imagine Will Anderson and Aiden Hutchinson off the edge?
Oh, that would be together? Awesome.
Oh, awesome. Wait, so Let's Z, go. Are you saying pass on QB?
I think if they were to be the 3rd overall pick, yes. But I mean, we have a long conversation to go about that. Yeah. Well, let's get back to reacting to this Bills Lions game, which was a wild game. Talk about a great Thanksgiving game. This is the most watched Thanksgiving football in NFL history. The ratings were higher than ever before. Across all 3 games, the Cowboys in particular had the highest rated regular season game. The Lions had 35 million people watch this game, so a lot of people watch the Lions. They got to be, they got to be super encouraged by what they see, even if they're not a Lions fan. I got a lot of texts saying like, "Man, I love Dan Campbell, but he's going to manage the end of the game better," and blah blah blah. But still, I think a lot of people out there, even if it's secretly, are drinking the blue Kool-Aid on the Lions. And there's just a ton of positive takeaway from this game, even with the end result, unfortunately, as it was.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I want to start with a guy that we've hardly talked about, and rightfully so, because, he was never activated before. Ooh. Let's go with James Houston.
Yeah, baby.
Stud.
Out of Jackson State.
Yeah.
His first NFL game, he gets 2 sacks.
In 5 plays. I mean, it was amazing.
He covered a fumble. I saw him make a nice block on special teams another time. Like, the dude just tore it up.
How about it? I mean, the guy had 16 and a half sacks his last year of college. Now, this is Jackson State. It's not Alabama. But, I mean, you still don't get that type of production without being, like,
having something.
Some sort of fairly good athlete, and I mean, maybe the Lions caught lightning in a bottle where, like, it was a short week. This guy's never played. He has the freshest legs probably on the entire field, but nonetheless, he made the most out of his opportunity this week. And more than we've gotten on Austin Bryant, who had a horrible, stupid personal foul in this game.
Okay, did anyone else see what I saw? Because what I saw was a dude fighting through a pass rush. He grabs the quarterback, takes him down, and then as soon as he looks and sees that Allen didn't have the ball, you see his head go, ah, god damn. Like, I don't think he realized. I think he thought he made the play until he saw the ball was gone. I don't know if it was all that stupid, but I mean, it hurt. There's no doubt.
Hmm.
At least that's what I saw.
I don't know. It was pretty. It was not smart. I mean, he admitted as much after the game.
No, fair enough.
Yeah, right, I always like how you side with the players, no matter what.
You're like Dan Campbell.
I tend to do that too, but yeah, it was a bad play.
I didn't look too deep.
I think James Houston only even made the roster this week because Charles Harris went to the IR.
Hey, so, good, you know, younger.
Yeah.
And Charles Harris, as we noted, has had a very disappointing season. So to get a guy like, I mean, James Houston, I don't know if you saw the type of pass rush he was doing in this game, but he got like super low to the ground. He was able to turn that corner.
He's stout.
Like Von Miller-esque. Like Von Miller is known for getting like super low to the ground, turning the corner on these guys. And that was a lot of what we saw at James Houston. Now, one was like a nice effort play from the backside, just continuing to go after quarterback. But the first one was just phenomenal technique.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, do you remember the hype during the draft when we picked this guy? And we're like, who's this guy? We had no freaking clue.
They're hype?
And, well, no, I'm just saying when we picked them, they were really talking up how they love this guy, right?
Anyways.
Which they always do, I suppose. But, man, but maybe they had something here. We just had no idea. But what a game. Wow.
Definitely.
Five plays, two sacks. I don't know.
Recovered fumble.
Pretty efficient. So,
hell of a debut.
Come on, James.
If he could be that spice opposite of Hutch, you know, add another edge guy that consistently threatens and makes the, you know, harder on the QB and easier on Hutch, that'd be great.
But I mean, this is a very very spirited effort by our defense. Josh Allen throws a pick in the red zone. Great effort by Nelson Rodriguez. Our linebackers, I must say, they had a very good game. I would argue the best game of the year they've had from their standpoint, at least.
All those linebackers are looking so much better. Even Anzalone. They're looking legit. Barnes, I saw him make some plays. Yeah.
I mean, our D tech. I think our D tackle still left a lot to be inspired, but what we saw out of Anzalone and Rodrigo in this game is very encouraging. Anzalone's definitely stepped up in recent weeks.
Yeah, he looks good. He's flying to the ball. Just another note about the D tackles, Z, is I still think McNeil looks like a force in there. But he's kind of a lone force where it's its firmest. Our defense right now is at its firmest when you have McNeil and Bugs inside. You notice it usually gets a little softer whenever Bugs is out or McNeil is out. And Bugs is decent, but I think ideally you'd have someone better than him with Bugs as like a rotational guy. But I thought they played pretty well. I mean, you still saw McNeil getting upfield a lot. They had planned for him after what they saw him do to the Giants, though, I think, and found ways to mitigate him a little bit. But you still saw him getting upfield and getting leverage and stuff. And in the ground game, they were still pretty stout.
Yes.
Yeah.
Such.
I mean, today, we run into the same problem we have with this Lions team, unfortunately. Josh Allen ran for 78 yards in this game. Lions still cannot handle a rushing quarterback, unfortunately. But
does anyone handle Josh Allen well, like in his running? Like, because he sets it up so well.
I'm just saying,
we handled him pretty damn well in terms of he paid for his yards in that game. He was not feeling good that game. He was banged up as shit when he still delivered a dime to end the game, but who cares? Like, we were getting to him. Like, he did not get anything easy until maybe a little bit at the end, but
he didn't get anything easy. But who do we put the blame on for that last, the 40-yard play? Kirby Joseph was the first man there.
Probably injuries.
He was so close, too. He was so close, too.
I just feel like if Okuda or not Okuda, well, Okuda or freaking Joseph are in there for that final play, we maybe get a stop. But you had all our corners. We were down to like our third and fourth string corners at that point. And so there was no real help there. Maybe we get a stop there with Jacobs in there. He had a heck of a game, by the way. His pass interference was a little bit chippy. I mean, that's just going to happen when you're manning up on guys sometimes. You got to be physical. And, man, he's physical.
Jerry Jacobs, I'm in love. And I must say, you know, as much as we're harping on the coaching staff, but Dan Campbell more specifically with the game management, with the personnel we have on defense right now, I thought they actually put a very good defensive game plan in, especially when you're lacking a guy like Okuda, who's your number one cornerback in the game. If Okuda's, they shut down Diggs for most of this game until pretty much
they did
second half of the fourth quarter, really.
Yeah.
I thought it was a very admirable defensive play calling. And it is unfortunate, obviously, we don't get the victory, but encouraging. You know, people forget the Lions again. I must repeat this because I think it gets lost sometimes. The Lions spend the least amount of any team in the NFL on defense. Don't forget that, okay?
Yeah, that's exciting.
This team is not invested in the defensive side of the ball at all. Performance out of a team against the Bills, who are probably seen as number two behind the Chiefs in terms of offensive prowess in the NFL. I like the game plan a lot. And it was hindered by some of the play calling on the offensive side of the ball.
The offensive play calling was inconsistency, especially in that second
half. You
want
to go to the offense? Let's jump to it. We haven't even discussed the offensive side of the ball. Oh, yeah. Let's jump to the offense, shall we?
Go ahead,
Red Dog.
I was just saying the way, like, in that when we had about, there was a couple drives there where it was like 9 minutes left, and we had some success passing through the air, but then we just gave up on the run completely. And that was one of my bigger head scratchers, honestly. Like, why? I understand we were moving the ball through the air, but like every time you just keep doing the same kinds of plays, eventually the defense tightens up. And what do? They tightened up, but like our run game was having success. Use it.
Yeah, I arguably the biggest killer in this game was the fumble.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. That
you
was
can't killer. Fumble.
No,
don't fumble.
It was a good play by the defense.
Come on, Jamal.
It sucks.
Jamal Williams fumbling for the second time this year.
But that would have broke us like four games ago. Like,
that's true.
You know what I mean? Like, no one error can be blamed on that game for where we were, like in it, and where we were when we lost it. Like, that game was a game of peaks and valleys. We battled through all of them, and we were right down to the wire and could have just as easily walked away with the W. You know, a little better execution here, a play goes differently here. That was the essence of the one play game. And that's why, like, you know, Connor's not here to use his clown of the week, but I don't think there were any clowns for the Lions in this game. I saw a team go to war and they just came out on the wrong side. Couldn't pull it off. They took their shots. They battled toe to toe with one of the best teams in the league and looked like they belong there.
Yeah, that's true. I think the real test, though, after a game like this, I just think of what they've gone through. Now they finally learned how to win. They win three games in a row. The last one against the Giants in convincing fashion. Then they go up against a top notch team, one of the best in the league, and go toe to toe and almost pull out the win. So the real key is going to be here in the next game, Jacksonville. do we get down on ourselves? Do we, or we go out there and we show what we're not flukes here and we just go out there and kick some ass, which is what
I think we all go cry in the corner.
Well, that's, you know, that's the inclination being watching this team for years and years, but
I did, I don't know, for an hour anymore. Was anyone else like have an acute like sense of like depression for a short time after the game? It took me a minute to get over this.
I don't know.
One.
This is the eighth straight game the Lions have lost on Thanksgiving. So unfortunately,
this one felt different though. Just all season it felt different. Like compared to any of the other losses, like I thought we had this one. I thought we were
everything
gonna be huge
feels
with
different and, with this team. I'm sorry.
True.
There's guys, a lot of guys that are fun to watch and making plays. And we can name out, it's not just one or two, it's several on both sides of the ball. So, and they're so coachable. I mean, this is what's impressing me, I think, maybe more than anything. I've said it before, but this team is coachable. They're listening to what the coaches are saying, and they're executing on the field. Had a couple of great game plans the last couple of weeks. Amazing. And the team executed. It's fun to watch, man. A team that really can be coached, or young, or exciting. They're making some big plays. They're making some mistakes, too. But, hey, I mean, just watching the growth of this team is it's almost inspirational, if you ask me.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error. Get the Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
I agree.
It's pretty awesome.
And speaking of playmakers, especially on offense, since we're on offense, I think you can't talk about our offense without talking about one man in particular. Amon-Ra St. Brown, of course.
That's right.
Oh, sun god, man.
Good.
That was the biggest question, I think, at the end of that game. Why are you throwing a DJ Chark and not Amon-Ra St. Brown, regardless of what the play is?
That's like, not the type of route Amon-Ra St. Brown runs.
I'm just saying, whatever the play is, why is he just not the guy dialed up for it? You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, on your playmaker. But
Let's go to the fourth down call where we run him in motion. That was a ballsy play call, by the way.
Yes, like,
brilliant.
The linebacker can easily jet up and tackle him for a loss for three yards very easily. But the linebacker was frozen solid, and Amon-Ra goes for a 7-yard play. And so, you know, kudos to Lions for that.
And he missed out on yards on that, I think. Like, if he just turned his jets on up that seam, like, there was a ton of room. He might have housed it. But he kind of, like, second-guessed and then ran out of bounds. But that was a great play call.
Yeah, you know,
absolutely, and the Lions in this game, by the way, 3 for 3 on fourth down. So
yeah.
Why didn't we go for it at the end?
I thought Ben Johnson had a great game plan together for this game. He continues to just, you know, really, really impress me with his play calling prowess.
He does, Johnson.
And as we keep saying, wait till Jameson Williams gets in the picture. Wait till Josh Reynolds is fully healthy and you get this full offense back. I mean, G.J. Chark is on a 1-year deal. I'd be shocked if he came back next year. Maybe we find a better replacement for him.
We might draft another one. Honestly, like, besides defensive playmakers, another like top-notch receiver could do this team a world of good. You just see how important that position is in the league.
I just hope Goff can throw it far enough to get it to Jameson.
Oh, I knew that was coming.
All the way down the field.
Lame call. Lame.
And I don't expect listeners to see Jameson Williams this week against Jacksonville. That's my understanding so far this week. It's only his first week back in practice. All the indications are that him and Romeo Okwara will not be back for the Jacksonville game. They'll be ready for the playoff run later on.
All right.
All right.
But you got to win this game. Jacksonville came back massively against the Ravens. They went for two at the end of the game and got the win in Jacksonville.
May not be one of the better teams in the league overall, but I wouldn't take them lightly.
They're frisky. They're frisky. We'll get to them later this week. But talking about the Lions, just, you know, their draft position and stuff like that. We mentioned their playoffs. They're definitely not out of it by wide means. Like, they're at the bottom. Like, every national game, the Sunday night game, the Monday night game, the Lions were at the bottom of the graphic in the hunt. So they're there.
Hey, that's where you got to be. 10-7 will get you there, I think.
Nonetheless, you know, also, you know, the Rams are really falling apart. Matt Stafford looks like he might be out for the year. Aaron Donald looks like he might be out for the year. Allen Robinson, their big free agent wide receiver signing, he might be out for the year. Cooper Kupp is already most likely out for the year. This team is falling apart. It looks like it's almost guaranteed at this point to be a top five pick, if not a top three pick, and the Rams might be the worst team in the league for the remainder of the season.
Unreal.
Will Anderson and Aiden Hutchinson?
So hungover.
Oh, yeah.
You know what this team is like? This team is like that chick who fell off the platform at the Rams celebration when Stafford watched her. Like, they're fell off the rails completely. They're disintegrating, and it's great. Yeah. They got their Super Bowl. Now they can give us a great draft pick.
Yeah, a lot of people on their team were talking retirement and stuff before the season, that they decided to stick it out, and now they're regretting it, Papa, probably.
Well, little side note.
An interesting philosophy, though. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Ray.
No, go ahead, UJ.
No, I'm just talking about the Rams. They sold it all for that one Super Bowl, you know.
Hey.
I mean,
would you do it for Lions? I probably would.
Hell yeah.
I want to say yes, but I like the approach of trying to become long-term winners, which I think
UJ,
is what we're doing.
UJ, if
yeah,
the Lions,
I'm with you.
If I told you the Lions could trade away the next 20 years of their future for a Super Bowl, you wouldn't do it?
There's no guarantee.
I don't care what the hell happens. The Lions winning the Super Bowl would mean everything.
That would be, you know, but amazing. Then we'd win the Super Bowl, and then we'd be in despair for the rest of our lives. And then
the
we'd have a Super Bowl,
farther,
the
it would
Lions
get farther and farther away. That,
the
that,
Lions
that victory
won.
We'd forget.
The Lions won the Super Bowl.
It's an easy choice.
It's hard to say. Even we've only. And,
I want
and
to do it the right way. I want
to be able to
the
say
right
the
way.
Lions won a playoff game. And
right
once
way.
In your lifetime, we've been able to say the Lions win a playoff game. In my lifetime, zero.
It'll be more satisfying to do it the right way.
You know the right way? The right
way? The right way. You get it done. That's the right way.
Yeah.
I mean,
so the Rams did it the right way. They
UJ,
won.
This is
so
an
was it worth
choice.
It to what the team's turned into since then?
I don't know. Producer,
they have a
KJ,
Super Bowl.
KJ, producer KJ.
What's up? What's up?
Producer KJ, step in here for a moment. You're the Rams fan. You tell me. Is it worth selling the next probably 5 to 7 years of your franchise?
Absolutely. You know, you don't get to go to the Super Bowl very often, so it's absolutely worth it.
Thank you.
So
UJ, I think it's the cold or the flu catching up to you. You're telling me.
It could be.
Here's what I think. It's obvious if, under your scenario, Z. It's no doubt if you could trade away that and you're guaranteed the Super Bowl. But if I was choosing how to go about doing it in reality, I probably wouldn't aim for it. But you also have to remember the way the Rams did it, too. Like, everyone acts like that was, like, some strategy that can just be applied to any team. But, like, applied to any team.
Thank you.
But applied to any major. Team. But Does everyone forget one really key thing that they did with their draft picks? Is they got lucky and got the best defensive player maybe to ever play the game in like the middle of the first round.
Hey, but we got Eric Ebron.
I'm just saying, like their whole strategy doesn't work if they didn't first get lucky drafting the best player on defense in the league.
But
I'm just saying
they knew they could make the other trades based on the fact that they made that draft.
It was because you could build around him. Like without him, none of it works. Mm-hmm. Like none of it. I mean,
yeah.
And he was the base of that entire thing. So, you know, if we had built a team where we had a guy like him on it, it might be doable. But, like, they got so lucky in that.
If I gave you the scenario, you know, you can go to heaven, but the Lions don't win a Super Bowl. Or you go to hell, but the Lions win a Super Bowl.
Now you're getting into tough questions.
Okay.
I hope we never have to answer that.
This is a question for Run Dog.
Yeah, I was going to say, UJ. I mean, obviously, go to heaven, but...
Hey, you're not drinking a blue Kool-Aid enough.
There's some things more important than...
the Lions win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, right? There's some things more important than the Lions, believe it or not. But, you know, your immortal soul, I would say, is up there.
Lastly, Jared Goff. We haven't even discussed his name in the whole of this, but I kind of feel like that also says something about his role on this team.
Yeah.
Jared Goff, like, kind of like the nameless quarterback. Like, if we don't say his name, kind of like an offensive lineman, he's doing his job. But if we say his name, it's usually something that it's not good. Like, where are we on with Jared Goff this far in the season? Because it's
a lot of good. Decent amount of bad.
He's a very, very solid year. That being said, with the situation coming up and the draft and everything, I'm definitely open to drafting a quarterback. And I'm leaning toward that kid from USC right now.
Oh, well, you're not going to get him because he's not draft eligible.
Oh, he's not this year?
He would probably be the number one draft pick otherwise.
Damn it.
The way I feel right
now. Never mind then.
Yeah, because he's very good. Caleb Williams, yeah. Very good.
Lord, did he dismantle Notre Dame? That was not even funny.
He tore it up. The way I feel about it right now is Jared Goff, as of this moment in time, is playing good enough that I would still rather see us build this roster around him than get a rookie quarterback. There's a lot of cost and stuff to analyze. Obviously, you'll save a lot of money if you get rid of him. And... you know, that was free room. Then you have a rookie quarterback on a rookie contract and you can use more resources towards free agency. But, like, I'm not sure. There's no guarantee you're going to get better than Jared Goff at the top of the draft. It's just, I mean, yeah, you might have more weapons on the ground. But, like, I mean, granted, we would also be one of those teams where you wouldn't need a quarterback necessarily to come in and just run. But you see that too often with these young quarterbacks like Fields and Daniel Jones and stuff. They're not good enough with their arms, so they come in, or they don't have the weapons, and they come in and they just put it on their legs, and then we'll see if they even survive their rookie seasons. But I mean, at that price, it's hard to argue. But that being said, I still like Goff. I think Goff is something you can build around, especially with more weapons on the defense and offense both. I think, you know, as long as he continues to grow and get better, that's what I still say. Jury's still out.
I just think at some point it becomes a money question with him, though. Mm-hmm. He's got one more year. We're paying him, what, $30 million or something? And then what? You're going to have to re-sign him again to what? Another 200, you know, what's the going price? $250 million, $300
million? Right.
I don't know.
Or you, and that's why I don't.
I'll tell you right now. So next year.
Drafted one.
I believe I mentioned this in an earlier podcast, but, you know, always good to remind. His cap number next year is $30 million, but if the Lions made him a pre-June 1st cut, the Lions would save $20 million on the cap. But
a lot of money.
You got to find another quarterback.
Exactly.
He'll still have dead money of $10 million, so I think it's almost a guarantee that Jared Goff is the quarterback for the Lions next year at this point. I would be shocked if it was something else.
Well, let's see if Holmes can find a late round gem. He's turning out to be a hell of a draft guy.
How many Billy Zappies are out there, UJ, this year?
I don't know. I haven't started studying that yet, but
We'll
if we did draft one though to sit behind Goff, I wouldn't be terribly angry. Even though you bypass adding talent elsewhere, like especially if one of these like dynamic kids comes out, like you could use him. Like what's his face from the Saints was used for a long time. That white kid backup who was a fast runner, big, and what's his
Taysom
name?
Hill?
Taysom Hill. Yeah, like, these kids have all these elite leg talent on top of their arms. Like, you could definitely work them into their playbook, even if they were just supplementary to Goff. And I don't hate that idea. Like, an elite leg arm talent potential guy behind Goff who we can actually use as a weapon now.
A lot of people have Anthony Richardson going to the Lions at some point in the draft.
Kid from Florida, right?
Yeah, which...
I don't hate that idea as a backup, because he could use him as his legs, too. I mean, he's not perfect,
if you watch his film, it can be really rough.
Yeah, but if you get him late in the draft, and he'd be more exciting than Spud Dick or whatever we have at backup now. Jason Spudsfield or Spuds... galore, Spudalicious. What's his name?
Sudfield.
Spudsfeld. Whatever. You know what I meant.
Just told you. Nathan Sudfeld.
I heard what you said, but you know what I meant. Anyway, a kid like that would still be better to develop behind Goff than Sudfeld. in my opinion, especially if you get him in like the later rounds of the draft.
Yeah.
I mean, if we're not going to go high, he's going to probably, he has talent, even if he's flawed as a prospect.
You know, somebody we didn't mention in this game that I wanted to mention. Swift looked a little better in this game. I'm not going to give him amazing accolades by any means, but he looked a little bit more like himself in this game. He's still got to stop dancing around at times and just get upfield.
No, clown of the game, Swift. That's it. Yeah, there was a play where he could have had the first down, and he came up short because he spun his wheels. And that was on the play, I think, where we threw the
ball. He slipped.
And the play before that, no one talks about. He literally tackled himself, went down to the ground a half yard short of the first down. Easily had a first down there. So there you go.
You're blaming Swift for slipping?
I am. I'm not letting him off the hook.
All right, then.
You know, the higher quarterback rate in this game, Jared Goff. He had 100 quarterback rating. Josh Allen's 80.
He played a solid game. He had us.
But Josh Allen made the big play at the end.
I want to ask you guys on that final pass. Like, we don't know. We probably will never know. But what are your instincts just watching that play and how it went out? Who do you think was out of sync? Who do you think was right and wrong there? Was it Chark? Was it Goff? I'll just say my suspicion is that Goff thought he was going to go to the sideline, and that's where he was supposed to go, but he broke deep, especially when he threw the ball and where it landed. Like, it does not look like he thought he was going to break to the end zone. Like, that would be a totally different ball. So I don't know. Who do you think, Chark or Goff? You think Goff was the right one?
I do think Goff is right. Chark was wrong, but also I think Ben Johnson was wrong with his play call.
I can agree with that.
We've seen it twice this year. Just run the ball. You're controlling the line of scrimmage the whole game. Why are you doing this?
Here's the one thing against the running is that team was notorious for shutting down short yard plays. But, I mean, there's so many other high percentage plays you could have played, like with crossing routes and actually – throw to those routes, because from what I understand, they were all open. Like, don't go to the one down to the sideline.
But can we talk about – I forgot to bring this up earlier, and I'm sorry. But even before that last play, the Lions were, like, settling for a field goal the whole drive. It was really bizarre. Like, go for the win on this last drive. Lions were taking their sweet time. Like, I did not like the lack of aggressiveness on the last drive. Like, on third and one with 23 seconds, Nye decided to be aggressive. It was very bizarre.
I'm just curious did you listen to Dan Campbell's explanation for this?
No.
Okay. Do you guys want to know what it was? Because I don't hate it.
Give it.
I can definitely see the wisdom where everyone else agrees is that he had 2 timeouts left and he didn't want to leave enough time for the Bills to go back down the field the other way.
You have to finish the rest of the sentence. Go ahead.
That was it. I finished it. He thought he didn't want
to. He gave him enough time. Clearly.
Well, so if they get the first, I know.
Velocity is.
They were. I think he wanted the touchdown. And I don't think he was counting on settling for that field goal. But yeah, I agree. I mean, it makes sense though that you if they score
did not
there
appear that they wanted the touchdown. They have 30 seconds left from the 40-yard line to start going for a touchdown all of a sudden. Like, where was it before that? That's my criticism at this part of the podcast.
I'm not sure I understand your criticism. They weren't going for a touchdown the entire drive as they were driving. I don't get it. Like, why do you say they weren't going for a touchdown?
It didn't really appear that way. They didn't have the urgency that you would think.
Well, if they convert that third down, they would have completed it perfectly, in fact. But I agree, though. That play call, though, for that strategy was all wrong because you need at least to complete the pass or run it to keep the clock running. But
the Lions had the ball at the 42-yard line with the 2-minute warning left. They throw a pass for -1 yard to DeAndre Swift. Then they run it the next play. So they waste 40 seconds before snapping the ball after the 2-minute warning on 3rd and 6 for 5 yards. So there's 1:15 left. Then they snap it 30 seconds later with 45 seconds left to Amon-Ra, who gets a 7-yard run, as you mentioned earlier. So now there's 45 seconds left at the 42-yard line. You know, it wouldn't be a Lions home game this year without a false start from our offensive line. Penei Sewell, of course, you know, as good as he is, he goes offside late in this game to force a 1st and 15. And then we have a pass that's ruled short. So we have 3rd and 1 with 32 seconds left. I just didn't see. Like, it's more that 2nd and 5 play where we have the 1-yard loss to the Swift, where we take 40 seconds off the play clock that I did not like.
Hey, I won't deny there's arguable things about the way they play this game. I think Dan was playing a really slim margin in this game, but I don't think he had a wide margin to play in this game. Did he get the right calls? Did things go right? No, but like some of that's on execution. Like, you know, they should have executed better on that play. Them being out of sync is the problem there, even more than the play, in my opinion. That's execution. Like, I agree, low percentage play and all that, but regardless, it would be one thing if that low percentage play failed in a way where, you know, it wasn't a miscommunication, but the defense made a play or something. But, like, I mean, I'm just saying, like if that play this game out the way Dan Campbell sees it, they convert that third down instead of, you know, obviously not, and they go on. Now they executed that drive perfectly. They either kick the field goal to go to overtime, or they still have 2 timeouts and like 20 or 32 seconds, something like that, to get like 35 yards to the end zone. I mean, that's pretty good amount of time with 2 timeouts to do whatever you want. I'm just saying, I see what he was aiming at, and he was trying to thread the needle, and he failed. That's all I see. That's why I just can't knock anyone too hard in this game, because you can't convince me any of these were just obvious calls. Because anything could have gone wrong. No matter what play they could have called, they could. No matter what play they could have called there, the Bills could have made a stop. It doesn't matter. You don't know what's going to happen. They shot their shot. They missed. You know, it sucks, but they battled.
All right. Well, you know, I think it's a good stopping point. But there is still, man, compared to where this Lions team was last year at this point, I think this is just a huge step up what we've seen in the last 5 weeks with this team. Would you guys agree?
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely.
And you combine the fact that the Lions, well, currently right now, have 2 of the top 12 picks in the draft coming up next year. But the fact that we haven't even seen our top draft pick in Jameson Williams yet this year, who hopefully will be there in the next two to three weeks.
We haven't talked about Hutch, by the way, if you wanted to. I don't know. He didn't do a whole lot, but.
Hutch. Yeah, he takes on double teams the whole game, so.
Yeah, they
Aleem McNeil showed up a little more in this game again, so we're seeing a little more consistency out of him, which is encouraging. Austin Bryant looks like, you know, if Justin Houston can even step up remotely like he did in this game, Austin Bryant might be out of a job soon.
Well, he's got size and stuff. He's decent against the run, but he's got to pick it up in the pass game.
Out of that.
Yeah, besides hitting the quarterback late.
Yeah, definitely besides that.
You know, we did the math exercise in the last episode, so I just want to end with another one where we mentioned if the Lions lose to the Bills but win out, the Lions have, according to 538.com, a 73% chance to make the playoffs. Mm. Wait, hold on, sorry. 92% at 10-7. At 10-7, 92%. Okay. If they were to lose one of those last seven, then it gets to 52% around. So there's still a lot to play for, even if they finish the season at 9-8, which this team is totally capable of what we've seen in the last few weeks, especially with the schedule coming up. Again, with the Lions, they face the Jaguars at home, the Vikings at home, here back-to-back. At New York Jets, that'll be a tough one. But the Panthers, very beatable. The Bears, then the Packers, also extremely beatable. So, the Lions should be favored at home this week. They're probably underdogs even at home against the Vikings, although that'll be close. Probably underdogs at the Jets. But then the last three games of the season, Panthers, Bears, and Packers, they should be favored.
I think they're favored in all of them, in my heart.
They had a boy, you Rudd Dog. All right, so I think that's a good stopping point for this podcast. But man, we had a lot to talk about in this one. Obviously, we have a lot more to talk about in the upcoming game against the Jaguars. But wow! So thank you to our listeners for listening. We greatly appreciate your ears. Hopefully, we'll greatly appreciate your eyes and the your eyeballs as we move into live streaming.
He's getting a little weird over here.
But thank you to SidelineReport.com for hosting the podcast. Always greatly appreciate them. Go check out all their articles on there by Brad Berryman and the team. They do a great job. Thank you to our Lady Lions for contributing each week to the podcast recently. Yeah. Really appreciate that. Yeah. Instagram at Drinking the Blue Kool-Aid. Twitter at Drinking Lions. Follow us on there. Let us know your thoughts about the Lions Thanksgiving performance and their playoff hopes. Do you think this team can make a late run at the playoffs? Are we gonna get a little flex game in there, besides that afternoon game on a Sunday?
Yeah. Flex for the Packers to win the division. Let's go.
Yeah. QG. And thank you to, of course, our producer, Kid J.
Kid J.
Hey, all right. Thank you to producer Kid J for always crushing it each and every week. We'll have more on our technology side of things as soon as I mentioned with the live stream aspect. But wow.
See our beautiful
You can always send us an email too if you have a question that you want us to answer. It's drinkingthebluekoolaid@gmail.com. You can always send us an audio question or some sort of email, and we'll be more than happy to answer it.
Ask UJ's favorite color.
Well, it's not a little blue.
I'm not giving that out.
But thank you everybody for listening. I don't think I forgot anything. I don't think I forgot anything else to thank the podcast. So thank you everybody for listening. We greatly appreciate it. We'll be back later this week previewing the Lions hosting the Jaguars. But last but not least, as always,
go
forward down the field, a charging team that will not yield. And when the blue and silver wave, stand and cheer the brave. Rock, 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 go hard, win the game. With honor you will keep your fame. Down the field and gain a Lions victory.
Go!
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5HETIDE.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5HETIDE.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.